Good morning. I'm Clark Dietz from Comox Community Baptist. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we invite your Holy Spirit to come upon us now so that we could speak and hear your words of life to us. We ask this to the glory of your Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Good Friday. Today is the day on which we remember the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever was the first to name it Good Friday was showing deep wisdom, because on the face of it, it was a terrible tragedy. Jesus Christ cut down in the prime of life, sent to an unjust and horrible death, but it truly was good for us, because it was through his suffering that we are made whole. We evangelicals have tended to focus on Jesus' death on the cross, and this is understandable, and rightly so, because his sacrifice paid the price for our sins. But because of this, we've sometimes overlooked the suffering part of Good Friday, the false accusations, the injustice, the insults, the torture, and the wounding that Jesus went through before his death. So this morning, let us look at the sufferings of Jesus, the wounds which he endured for our sake. I want to consider his wounds in four ways: as the completion of his task, as the source of our healing, as reminders before God, and as reminders before us. It puzzled me for a long time that Jesus could say, "It is finished," from the cross before he died. Wait a minute. He wasn't finished until he actually died. Or was he? Jesus saw the task the Heavenly Father had given him from a different point of view. For him, it involved the whole process: the betrayal, the mock trial, the scourgings, and the crucifixion. All of that was the cup that the Father had given him. There are four recorded instances when Jesus spoke plainly about his purpose to his disciples. And each time, he always linked together his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. When he prayed in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane about this cup which the Father was giving him, it was the cup of the whole experience. And so, when Jesus declared, "It is finished," all of it was finished. The suffering which the Father had ordained had been faithfully received. You may know already that the term Jesus used, that's in the Greek New Testament, tetelestai, it's a Greek word and it's used in commercial transactions. It's equivalent to our term, paid in full. Jesus had paid in full for our redemption. So the first thing that the wounds of Jesus represent is that his suffering had been complete. All that the Father had given him to do, he had done faithfully. Christ's wounds were not only part of the completion of his task, but are also the source of our healing. And this is an area that I need to grow much deeper in, but Scripture speaks so plainly of it that we can't ignore it out of shyness. Part of Isaiah 53 says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed," or stripes in some other translations. By his wounds. Now, a person's pain and suffering can be in many forms: physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. Scripture does not draw any distinctions in what kinds of our suffering it was that Jesus bore for us. All kinds of hurts and wounds can be and are healed by God. And in some way that's not fully described for us, it is specifically Christ's wounds which are the source of this healing. I tread lightly here because I don't understand fully how this works. But maybe a hint is given to us in the account of the healing of the woman who had hemorrhaged for 12 years in Mark 5 and Luke 8. When she crept through the crowd and touched the edge of Jesus' cloak, it says he felt power go out from him, and she was instantly healed. There was a transaction of his power and her healing. Many of us know how draining it can be to sit down and share the burden of a friend who's going through a hard time. Or we know how costly it really is to be reconciled in a relationship when there's been a deep hurt. Healing brokenness always costs the healer. Sometimes on a human level, our own strength just isn't enough. But when God does the healing, his power is always enough. When the Lord does some healing work in our lives, no matter what kind it might be, it's his power at work. There is an exchange taking place. There is a connection between his wounds and our healing. And the Apostle Peter writes this in his first letter. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. By his wounds, you have been healed. So Christ's wounds are first a completion of his work, and second, the agents of our healing. The third aspect of the wounds Jesus suffered on that Good Friday are what they are eternally before God as a reminder of him to us, rather of us. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Isaiah the prophet wrote about the complaint of the Jewish exiles from Jerusalem, how they thought God had forgotten about them, how God didn't care about them anymore. Maybe their complaint is a common one from us from time to time. But through Isaiah, the Lord responded to them in this way. It was a question. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. And then he declared to them this. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Now, the meaning, or rather the word for engrave here in Isaiah is the Hebrew root hakak, meaning to cut in or inscribe or engrave. Now, you normally engrave metal or stone or wood. You do not engrave flesh and blood. One of my interests is wood carving, and I have a small set of palm carving tools. These are designed to be held and powered by your hand, and since they're not struck with a mallet, they have to be kept mirror sharp so to slice through the wood without tearing the fibers. And one day I was gently powering the gauge through some soft pine, but very unwisely holding the piece with my left hand against the pressure. I think you can see where this is going. The inevitable happened. The gouge slipped out and began an eye-blink journey that ended in my left forefinger. Fortunately, it was such a clean wound, it healed quickly. I like to think I learned a valuable lesson that day. But under normal circumstances, you don't carve or engrave living flesh. It just isn't done. You don't purposely cut into your skin and sinews of your palms, tearing the tissue and bringing destruction to your own flesh. But God declares that's exactly what he has done. I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. The way he did this was in a way the exiles from Jerusalem could never have imagined. They didn't think that God himself would come down and let his hands be pierced, be torn open by the crude Roman nails to be that memorial. And those wounds, the carving of the flesh, wasn't just for a time until the tissues heal again. Those wounds stand forever. They are eternally presented before God the Father as reminders of the beloved nation of his people, the new Israel, whom Christ died to save. I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. So Jesus' wounds are the completion of his work. They're the source of our healing. They're reminders before God of his chosen people. And finally, they stand as reminders to us as well of his sacrifice. In John's gospel, we read how his disciple Thomas had missed Jesus' first resurrection appearance to the rest of the disciples. When they told him about it, he scoffed. We catch a little bit of bluster in his oath. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. But a week later, when Jesus appeared again and invited Thomas to carry through with his demands, they were no longer needed. When he saw those wounds, all his arrogant skepticism vanished. He just exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." All it takes is one look at the hands, feet, and side of Jesus, and we remember whose we are. We remember who paid the price of suffering to buy us out of captivity, to make us a people set apart for him. We don't belong to ourselves. We don't belong to the world. We have been bought with a price. All it takes is a look at those wounds to remind us we belong to Jesus, the one who saved us. It's an old story that captures this very well. Many years ago, a little boy lived with his grandmother because his parents had died. And one night, the house that they lived in caught fire, and the old woman was overcome by the smoke, and she succumbed. And a crowd gathered around the house. They could hear the boy's cries above the blaze. No one knew what could be done. But suddenly a man ran to the back of the house. He found an iron drain pipe leading up to the second floor. He climbed up that hot drain pipe, and then a few moments later came out with the boy in his arms, and they came down the pipe to safety. Sometime later, a meeting was held in the town hall to determine what would be done with the boy. Who would have custody of him? He had no family left at all. So a farmer came forward and said, "I have a large farm. Everyone needs the out of doors." A teacher came forward and talked about the advantages of education that he could give the boy. And a wealthy man from the town said how he could provide all those advantages and more besides. Well, the speakers had all finished, and the chair of the meeting asked, "Is there anyone else who wants to say anything?" And a man walked forward from the back of the room, and he stood in front of the boy, and he took his hands out of his pockets. And people nearby were shocked when they saw the horrible scars on his hands. But the boy cried out as he recognized the man who saved his life, burning his hands on the hot pipe in the process, and he jumped up to the man and held on to him. The other presenters left quietly because the man's tortured and scarred hands spoke more than any words could have said. The boy was won over by the sacrifice made on his behalf. Paul wrote, "You are not your own." A single glance at Christ's wounds will remind you that you are not your own. You were bought at a price. The wounds that Jesus bears are the completion of the work the Father set before him. They are the source of our healing. They remind God of his people, and they remind us of the sacrifice of our Savior. On Good Friday, but also every day, when we remember how much Jesus loves us, His wounds should come to our minds. Could any of us repay such a debt except by turning and offering Him the love of all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength? Now, some of us here this morning have been a bride at one point. Not me personally, but I do know some. There's others who are looking forward, perhaps quite eagerly, to the day when they will be a bride. For those who have been brides, you remember that moment when you saw your husband-to-be up there waiting for you, and you walked towards him, and you held out your hands to each other, and you joined your hands together and were married. We all of us who have been bought with Jesus' sacrifice, we are all looking forward to the day when the bride of Christ sees her betrothed waiting for her. And she walks forward and reaches out to take his hand. And on that day, we will see how we have been and are and always will be engraved on our beloved's hands by the price he paid for us. And those wounded hands will take the hands of us, his precious bride, and never let them go. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness that led to your death on the cross, but your faithfulness that took you through that terrible, harrowing, suffering time before. We thank you that we are engraved on your hands. In your precious name, amen.